A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You're listening to a presentation of KSL Sports.
The Boise State loss. It hurt.
Penalty 9 today, so a ragged day in a lot of ways for BYU.
BYU tumbled in the rankings. The Cougars have some problems to solve.
You could say that on two touches, BYU lost the football game. Consecutive fumbles on touches.
Now BYU heads to the heart of the Big 12 country. The Cougars' future home to take on the Baylor Bears in Waco, Texas.
They pride themselves on taking the ball away on defense and taking care of it on offense, so we'll see who wins that battle.
Today at 1:30, Baylor and number 19 BYU kick off in a preview of the future.
The Cougars win it! The Cougars win it! And here come the fans!
This is extended pregame coverage, BYU versus Baylor, with Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte from KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio.
Future Big 12 opponents will meet each other in a few hours for the first time. In 37 years, their last meeting was in 1984, with the Cougars winning that game 47-13 en route to a national championship. Both teams are 5-1 on the year. BYU looking to bounce back in the win column after the setback against Boise State. We're live from Waco, Texas, where BYU and Baylor will meet in just a few hours at McLean Stadium. And Mitch, have you had a chance to go for a swim yet in the Brazos River?
I have not taken the swim yet. I considered it, Matt, but McLean Stadium, what a sight for fans that maybe are driving in from Dallas down to Waco. You will instantly see McLean Stadium right on the freeway once you get into town. It's a impressive stadium, smaller than Lavelle Edwards Stadium, but it's compact, 45,000 seats-ish. And it's going to be a nice setting for a college football game, and it's a game that has a ton of storylines today. BYU trying to bounce back, as you heard in that awesome introduction, that show opened. It is going to be critical for this team to not let that Boise State loss turn into a second loss. This is a good opportunity for BYU, a team that is known under Kalani Sitake to exceed expectations when many write them off. And that's going to be another opportunity here going up against the Baylor Bears, a future Big 12 opponent.
We'll have you covered all morning long for this extended pregame coverage. Linebacker safety Chaz Ayu will join our pregame coverage a little later in the show. And then we'll also catch up. Mitch had a chance to interview the commissioner of the Big 12, Bob Bowlsby. So we'll play that interview as well here as we get you ready for the Bears and the Cougars. And it's, this is such an interesting matchup, Mitch, because throughout the independent era, there haven't been a lot of opportunities following a loss mid-season like BYU had against Boise State, where the next week you've got a chance to prove yourselves and right the ship against a Power 5 opponent. And Baylor, they're not ranked, but 5-1, they've got some good offensive statistics. They're a good rushing team, best rushing team in the Big 12. This is a great opportunity for BYU to put that sour taste away and get back to their winning ways.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for sure, Matt. And I think that, you know, BYU offensively, they've got to have their best day, I think, to this point of the season. Jaren Hall, yeah, according to coaches, is cleared, ready to go. He's fully healthy. Because last week, as we saw against Boise, he was not 100%. You can spin it any way you want, but he was not clearly 100%. He did not even look to run, and I know part of that was a little bit by design. I do believe that from Aaron Roderick, but he has got to be able to show that dual threat ability that he showed in wins over Arizona, Utah, and Arizona State if BYU wants to come away victorious in this one. But I also think, too, the ground attack for BYU, Tyler Allgeier, Lopini Katoa, how do they bounce back? They were the guys that had the fumbles last week. Does it create an opportunity for a guy like Jackson McChesney to come into this game and make a name for himself? Because I'll tell you, McChesney is someone that has he's one of the quickest players on the team. There might be an opening for him to see some playing time that we haven't seen him earlier this year. So those are some interesting elements to this game that I find fascinating. So many different angles here to go with this game, but that offensive backfield for BYU better play its A game, because I think that's going to be required to get a victory.
And along those lines, Mitch, the offensive line's got to get back to what we saw earlier in the season, because those fumbles, I think, completely overshadowed what was a poor day in the trenches for both the offensive and defensive line. When you get outrushed by Boise State at home against a team that can't run the football, they were averaging 1 yard per carry after contact. I mean, they could not run the football, and they outgained BYU last week. So I agreed wholeheartedly with what you said about Lopini and Tyler, but there's got to be better play at the line of scrimmage if those guys are going to get loose.
Yeah, there has to be. And James Empey, I thought, he like Jaron Hall, didn't look fully healthy. I thought, from my opinion, my untrained eye at times, looking at sizing up these guys, he didn't look like he was fully right. Now you hope that he's closer to 100% today. And then, you know, the rest of the offensive line with guys like Campbell Barrington, Blake Freeland, another huge stage for these guys going up against a Baylor defensive line. They got some long rangy athletes. Petrie, number 8 on Baylor's defense, the star position that they play in Dave Aranda's defense. He's going to be a name to keep an eye on. So it's just a game where I love BYU in this spot, because I feel like Kalani Sitake has shown, Matt, that in big games, BYU rises to the occasion. It's the games where the pressure is mounting, the expectations are heightened, BYU then usually lays an egg, like we saw last week against Boise State. But in these spots, going on the road, an energetic atmosphere, today's homecoming out here at Waco, there's a parade just down the street from me, and there's going to be a great atmosphere. These are the spots where Kalani teams tend to play better than people think they will. So you hope to see that today for BYU.
Yeah, and we're talking BYU and Baylor all morning long here on this extended pregame coverage. And one of the storylines that I think is going to be really interesting is the storyline of the sidelines, because there's a lot of familiarity between these coaches, and it goes beyond just former offensive coordinator Jeff Grimes and offensive line coach Eric Mateos. Dave Aranda and Ed Lamb, they worked together down at SUU in the late 2000s. So a lot of connections between these coaching staffs. And earlier in the week, starting quarterback Jaron Hall, he jumped on KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, and talked about going against his former offensive coordinator.
You just got to tighten up everything, the operation of stuff. Things are different, obviously, this year from last year. With every coach who becomes a coordinator, things change a little bit. It's a little different, you know, from when Grimes was our OC. But, yeah, a lot of similarities still. So as far as what the defense is doing, I'm not sure. You know, it's day one of prep. But at least for us as an offense, it's more talking about their personnel today, the dudes they have up front and throughout their linebacking core secondary. But they're going to be a great defense as far as what I know. They got a lot of returning guys, and, you know, just like Arizona State, Utah, they're going to be one of the best defenses we face. So we just talked about being prepared to play, understanding that it'll be a tough game, and we've got our work cut out for us. So we've got to execute well. We've got to have a good week of practice, and every day we got to dial into the small details and just get better from last week.
Who do you think has the advantage? Is it Jeff Grimes knowing BYU's defensive tendencies, or is it BYU knowing how Jeff Grimes likes to operate, Mitch?
I think it's Baylor, because Jeff Grimes and Eric Mateos know these players for BYU on such a personal level. He knows how these guys tick, and especially on the offensive side. So he's given that knowledge to their defensive staff at Baylor. They know him beyond just simply film and cutups. They know him from how they what gets them excited, what gets them down and out. That to me is edge to Baylor. But I think BYU, they got a little bit of advantage too, in the fact that, you know, there's so much continuity on this coaching staff. Baylor's never been in this spot where they have such a big spotlight on him. I mean, last year Baylor was a two-win football team. This is a new regime with Dave Aranda stepping in after Matt Rhule left for our producer Dallin Graff's Carolina Panthers. You know, this is a big turnaround for Baylor. This is unexpected, honestly, for them to be in the spot where they're one game away from bowl eligibility. So I think that, you know, Baylor probably has a little bit of the edge with this dynamic of the coaching staffs knowing one another, but I think BYU, their continuity can counter that in a nice way.
Can BYU and Baylor become a future Big 12 rivalry? We'll discuss that next here on extended pregame coverage. BYU and Baylor here on KSL News Radio.
Today, BYU tries to put things back on track.
Back of the end zone, and oh, what a catch is made! Samson Nakua with a touchdown!
You're listening to extended pregame coverage.
BYU versus Baylor with Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte from KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio.
Yeah, it's a game day live from Waco, Texas, the heart of Big 12 country. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte getting you ready for kickoff between two 5-1 football teams, BYU and the Baylor Bears. Going to be a good matchup. And, you know, Matt, this is a game that has the potential to, one, just be, looking at this year alone, it's going to be, I think, a heck of a football game. But I think long-term, with BYU joining the Big 12 Conference, and just by the way, if you're just joining us, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby, my interview with him coming up a little bit later at the top of the hour at around 11 o'clock, joining us here on KSL News Radio, extended pregame coverage. BYU and Baylor, I think, has the potential to be a rivalry. In fact, a lot of people think that way. BYU wide receiver Gunnar Romney is one of those guys.
You know, I think this could probably be a future rivalry. I'm not sure about the history. I don't know. This might be the first time they ever played. I'm not sure. But, you know, a new Big 12 opponent, I think this could spark a future rivalry between two teams. So I'm excited to go and get a little bit of get a taste of what it's like there.
Matt, do you think it's going to be a rivalry going forward?
No, I don't. So I wholeheartedly disagree with you and Gunner. No offense to Gunner, who's having a great year, second on the team in receptions, but I don't think it's going to be. I think that'll be TCU. I just think it's going to be hard for a BYU-Baylor rivalry to overcome what's already been established between multiple meetings between the Horned Frogs and the Cougars. Dramatic meetings, too, and meetings that had an impact in the Mountain West Conference. So for me, it is it's easily TCU, and I think it's going to be that way for a while. Because look, it's been 37 years since these teams have faced. That's a long time. And in the last meeting, BYU has there even been there hasn't been a close game between these two teams. So I hope that's the case today. I want to see a great football game. But BYU and TCU have a history of close games, controversial games, hatred between coaches. You can't just replicate that with another team in the Big 12. So it's TCU for me all the way.
I think it's Baylor.
Why?
I say this because they're two faith-based institutions. And
so what?
Baylor and BYU philosophically, both off the field and on, they kind of align with one another. I think Dave Aranda's program right now at Baylor is going to be kind of a carbon copy of what BYU and Kalani is building right now. I mean, Aranda inherited a Baylor program that was had its moments of success, obviously, with Art Briles, but it was mired in controversy. So he inherits a program that was struggling a little bit after Matt Rhule. And then they had that two-win season, and now they're looking to be that tough, physical, bully type. That's kind of BYU. BYU tough in the trenches, player development. I think there's a lot of similarities. And then, oh, by the way, you add the element of Aranda takes Jeff Grimes and Eric Mateo. So that element's already there. I see this becoming a potential rivalry. Baylor's one of the big voices now, I think, in the Big 12 Conference moving forward in the new era after Texas and Oklahoma move out. I think they're going to be one of the top voices in the room. So I think that, yeah, this is going to be BYU's Big 12 rival. But let me say this, Matt. I don't want it to be force-fed like Utah, Colorado. I don't need some catchy name. I don't need any of that. It needs to come naturally. There needs to be some, you know, off-the-field, some incident maybe that gets things really feisty. It's got to come organically. TCU made a lot of sense, you know, 15 years ago with the quality of games, and TCU had the tackling dummies with BYU helmets on them to get ready for that 2008 game. I remember all of that, but I think going forward, Baylor is going to be BYU's rival. It's a good scene out here, and it's similar fan bases, very hospitable. I'm excited for this series going forward.
Two words, Gary Patterson. Drop the mic! In the words of Mark Pope.
He's still pulling up his khakis. Let me just say, too, though, BYU and Baylor, they get chances to play each other in this non-conference game today and then non-conference tomorrow, next year in Provo. It's going to set the stage for where there's going to be some recent meetings that the current programs, when they're in the Big 12 together, they'll have some experiences already that kind of set the framework, if you will, for
they may not even
rivalry.
They might not even be in the same division when it comes to Big 12. So
that is true.
So I mean, you could see a case where maybe BYU's in the North and they've got Iowa State and Cincy, and so who knows? But it would be fun to have Baylor, because I think Baylor, if BYU and Baylor do become a rivalry, Mitch, I think Baylor will be in the upper echelon of programs in the Big 12. Like, when you think about that new era of Big 12 football, that top tier of respected teams is what? Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Baylor, that's maybe West Virginia. Like when you think of the top teams, Baylor's in that mix. Whatever that combination of teams are, Baylor's firmly in that mix. So I would love it if that's the case. I just think there's a lot of work to do to catch up to the history that you have already with TCU.
Well, there is history between the coaching staffs already, as we talked about in the opening segment. And, you know, Kalani Sitake earlier this week, he knows that what Baylor's going to be throwing at him coming up a little bit later today, especially on that offensive side.
We know a lot of the stuff that they're doing, and Grimey's doing a great job as far as their execution. I mean, the fact that their quarterback hasn't thrown an interception all season long is a good sign that they're taking care of the football and doing it the right way. They're physical up front. Very, very similar. We were familiar with what they're doing offensively, their identity offensively, and it's going to be a good matchup for us. And, just looking forward to that game.
Having those connections already, Matt, it screams to me like this is a budding rivalry potentially. I mean, there's so much knowledge already. Like, Kalani's cracking a little laugh there saying, yeah, we already know so much about their offense.
Is Jeff Grimes even going to be there in 2 years? He's like, he changes spots every 3 years. He might be
that
gone
is a good
by
point.
Then.
That is a great point. But if he's still around, he's a Texas guy.
He's
got
around.
Deep connections in this state, and for good reason. I'll admit, seeing Waco out here, it's just kind of the plains, man. Like it's not plains, like it's just heart of Texas. It's the heartland. There's not much to it, but man, I think that's a good stage for college football. And let me tell you, BYU in the Big 12 Conference, it makes so much sense. Just again, the philosophies,
yeah,
the conservative maybe views in this league for some of the programs, the universities, it's just a great fit. And I love that we're even having this conversation, because the thing is, a couple years ago, maybe a couple months ago in the summertime, I would have told you, well, BYU is probably never going to be in a Power 5 conference. They might be on the outside looking in, and to think that 2 years from now, BYU is going to be in the same league with a Baylor, with a TCU, with West Virginia. It's just going to be good games week in, week out, and you're not going to have to say, how good is BYU truly? Like, I've been kind of irritated with that storyline this week, that they're still questioning about, well, how good is BYU truly? Like, they're 5-1. They're number 19 in the country. Give me a break. This is a good football team. It's just a matter of how great will they become rather than are they good? Yes, they're good. BYU's a good football team.
Yeah, and I haven't appreciated the narrative that the season's over. 19 in the country with games against Baylor a little later today. USC, now they're kind of unraveling, but you still got USC, Washington State, Virginia. Like, it's very in play, Mitch, that BYU can find themselves. Of course, they got to win today. But if they can go 11-1, I think it is absolutely in play for BYU that they can still go to a New Year's Six bowl game. So this is like a little taste of what it's going to be in the Big 12, where in the middle of the year, even with a loss, you can still play for something. And I still think that's the case now, but definitely going forward in a couple years, that'll be the case. So we'll take the break here. On the other side, BYU linebacker, defensive back Chaz IU. He'll join the program to discuss overcoming that Boise State loss and previewing this game against Baylor as well. So more extended pregame coverage coming your way here on KSL News Radio.
You're listening to a presentation of KSL Sports.
The Boise State loss, it hurt.
Penalty 9 today, so a ragged day in a lot of ways for BYU.
BYU tumbled in the rankings.
The Cougars have some problems to solve.
You could say that on two touches, BYU lost the football game. Consecutive fumbles on touches.
Now BYU heads to the heart of the Big 12 country, the Cougars' future home, to take on the Baylor Bears in Waco, Texas.
They pride themselves on taking the ball away on defense and taking care of it on offense, so we'll see who wins that battle.
Today at 1:30, Baylor and number 19 BYU kick off in a preview of the future.
The Cougars win it! The Cougars win it! And here come the fans!
This is extended pregame coverage, BYU versus Baylor, with Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte from KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into extended pregame coverage of BYU versus Baylor here on KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars, coming to you live from Waco, Texas, on the banks of the Brazos, the Cougars and the Bears. It's a future Big 12 conference tilt, and it should be a good one. A little bit under 3 hours away till kickoff here on KSL, and if you're wanting to listen to the game, of course, 102.7 FM, 1160 AM, the KSL News Radio app. So many different ways to listen to today's broadcast. And also, my in-game coverage will be available on KSLSports.com. I have a prediction, game day preview, three things that you need to know for today's game up on the website right now and on the KSL Sports app presented by University Federal Credit Union. This is a BYU team looking to bounce back. Adversity has not been an issue for this team really at all. Since the start of this decade in 2020, the pandemic has just been filled with successes for BYU football. And we're joined now by BYU linebacker Chaz Ayu, who's been a star of this BYU defense this season. And Chaz, how are you and the other players in this BYU team responding after last week's surprising loss to the Boise State Broncos?
I think it's a tough pill to swallow. You know, you look at that game and you see how the game went down, the stats, especially when you look at the stats, you know, we didn't play a bad game. We really didn't play a bad football game. Just turnovers, you know, just those things happen. And then defense not getting off the field, giving the, you know, Boise State a lot of time on the field and ending with points in those drives as well. So, you know, but we're staying pretty positive, just trying to learn from it and not let it hold us back. From the rest of the season.
Could be easy to let last week's loss maybe turn into a second one, but adversity's here for the team. Do you feel like this group has what it takes to respond from these circumstances after suffering a surprising setback?
I definitely think we do. You know, this is a lot better team than what we faced the last week. And so that's kind of the thing that's kind of itching at us too, is knowing that, you know, we're played a lesser opponent than maybe what we're going to see the rest of the season, minus a couple teams. But I think it was a good eye-opener for our team. You know, unfortunately, we couldn't have an eye-opener with a win. You know, we had to come with a loss. And so this week, our mentality is a lot different. You see it in our practice. We're being a lot more physical this week, trying to correct every little thing that we can correct going into this week.
Staying on the topic of adversity, you know, it's something that could be applied to both on and off the field, because on these episodes we get into just more than just simply the X's and O's of football. It happens to all of us, but you know, from your experience personally, maybe whether on the field or off the field, how do you bounce back from adversity, whether it's football or personal life?
You know, for a little while there, I kind of didn't relate it to my life. I kind of separated the two, which is, all growing up, that's what you're taught, is to relate everything you learned in football to life. So when it came to adversity, for a little while there, I wasn't handling adversity in my life the same way that I would handle it on the football field. And, you know, it took me a while to get back to the attitude where, you know, if something bad happens to me or something, I make a mistake or something, you know, I need to be able to put that bad play out of my mind and be able to move on. And, you know, I think that that's something that the young kids, especially coming up, need to be conscious of. Not just hear it, but to be conscious of it is, you know, when you're in football and your team is down by 25, you know, are you going to sit back and be like, okay, well, we lost, so now I'm just going to try to either run my stats up or just try to stay healthy, keep myself off the field, not try as hard, you know, things like that. Those are things that when it comes to real life, if you're, you know, behind, if you're not getting the job that you're wanting or you're at the bottom of the payroll, stuff like that, you know, that's something that you need to look forward to as a challenge and see, you know, what can I do in this situation right now that you know, I can excel, you know, improve myself, rather than look at everything around me and be like, wow, you know, my boss isn't looking at me or my teacher isn't, you know, helping me out in my classroom. Like, look at yourself, like, man, what can I do in order to, you know, bounce back from this and, you know, improve myself and not expect others to improve on their end as well.
How's the position change going for you? A few weeks in now, you're kind of full-time in that linebacker spot. You guys with yourself, Ben Bywater stepping in nicely, Peyton Wilgar, the depth's there, the talent's there, obviously. How are you feeling in your new spot?
It's good. It's an adjustment. It's a whole different mindset from safety. It's not. It kind of goes with my instincts, though. I'm more of a downhill safety, which is why I've played a lot of strong, so I'm more in the box. But, you know, there's a lot more hand use. You know, I'm not running free as much as I was as a safety. I'm having to get myself free in order to make tackles. And so that's been a slight adjustment, but it's coming along. I think I'm starting to get my rhythm and get my technique back and all of that.
What do you think of this matchup? It's kind of unique where you're going up against an offense that, in a way, is a little bit like a carbon copy of what you've been facing maybe in defense, in practice, excuse me.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And so it's going to be a very physical, competitive game. You know, I know that Coach Grimes, Coach Mateos have it in their head like, oh, man, we know how we want to attack this defense. And, you know, I know our offense is thinking the same thing with theirs. And, you know, I think it's going to be a lot of fun going against them. You know, it's a whole different personnel that we're going to be facing. They have good personnel, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Do you feel like it can help your guys' cause that you have some familiarity with the tendencies of this offensive play caller and some of the coaching staff, the way that they coach up their players, if you will?
I mean, going into it, we know how Mateos and Coach Grimes coach. We know what their mindset is. You know, obviously they're both offensive line guys. So, you know, if they can run the ball the entire game, you know, that's what they're going to do. But, you know, they also have athletes on the outside. You know, this is a really well coached team as well as well recruited. They have a lot of big talent at Baylor. So they're going to spread the ball out, and they do a good job at that every game. We don't necessarily know how they're going to want to attack our defenses as we've shown weaknesses in different areas. So it's going to be an interesting matchup, but I don't think it really changes anything that we do. We haven't even talked about anything of – well, we remember how they did it last year, so this is how we're going to do it this year. Hasn't been any of that talk, just kind of preparing just like another game.
Baylor looks like it's going to be a pretty cool setup. McLean Stadium, fairly new stadium, so that should be fun on the banks of the Brazos. Good luck to you, Chaz. It's going to be a fun game. Any final thoughts before we go on the matchup and what Cougar fans should expect from this BYU team coming up against Baylor?
I think the first thing that they need to expect is a team that hasn't given up. We haven't counted ourselves out. And I think that, you know, as a fan, it can be very heart-wrenching. I know as a fan, where you have no control over the game or what's going on and how you prepare for it, it can be, you know, almost more emotional having no control over it. And so, you know, just have faith in us and stick by our sides. And I mean, Baylor's going to it's already sold out in the BYU tickets. And so we appreciate the fans that are still traveling. And making ways to come to our games. So we love all our fans, and, you know, we need you guys the rest of the season.
Well said. Great stuff, Chaz. As always, appreciate you for taking the time to join me. I think Baylor fans are going to have a positive first impression of what BYU fans are all about with how many Cougar fans are expected to be here for today's game between BYU and Baylor. Good luck today. Thanks for the time. And if you want to listen to more of my interviews with Chaz Ayu every single week, go download the Cougar Tracks podcast on KSLSports.com. More extended pregame coverage, BYU versus Baylor, live from Waco, here on KSL News Radio, right after this.
Baylor gives the BYU Cougars an early welcome
to Big 12 football play.
Tyler busts in for six. Tyler Allgeier, touchdown. The Cougars score.
This is extended pregame coverage, BYU versus Baylor, on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio.
Big thanks to Mark Jackson for the scoreboard update. Cannot believe it's already week 7 of the college football season, game number 7 for BYU football. As you heard, getting ready to take on the Baylor Bears, and we're live from Waco, Texas, getting ready for BYU and Baylor on the banks of the Brazos at McLean Stadium. It's going to be an awesome setting. All the Cougar fans that are in attendance. I was on a flight to Dallas with a ton of Cougar fans on the plane, so I'm expecting a good turnout, Matt, of BYU fans here at this game. And the question with this game, Matt, what does BYU need to do to actually win this thing because they are coming in as an underdog.
I think it's simple what BYU needs to do, actually. Run the football like they have done for the previous 5 weeks, and then it just disappeared against Boise. It was weird. Like, Tyler Allgeier's longest run was, what, 10 yards? Like, I think the longest run of the day was from Puka Nacua on a jet sweep. So maybe they're just getting ready for playing Jeff Grimes and Baylor. I don't know. But it was shocking. It, like, to steal Kyle Whittingham's words from after they lost to BYU, I literally would have bet my house that BYU would have outgained Boise State on the ground. And that didn't happen. So if they can get back to running the football, do they need to outgain Baylor? No, they don't. But they need to reestablish the run game and have it be a threat because the play action wasn't effective. It was just weird. So for me, the answer to that question is simple. If they can run the football, then they can win the game.
You can text us your thoughts on how BYU or what they need to do to win this game by texting 57500 to the UCCU KSL text line. Also, text BYU to 57500 and you can get updates throughout the day, throughout the BYU football season on your beloved Cougars. To me, Matt, I think that BYU, they need to be a tone setter in this game. They have to be coming out of the gates explosive on in that first quarter. They cannot give up a big offensive, 14-15 play drive to Baylor. You can't let that happen. Defense has got to get a three and out early, set the tone. I think it'll do a world of good for the confidence if you can do that. I think also offensively, you got to score first. And I think that if BYU does that again, the spot that they've typically always been in every single week, even last week against Boise State, that's going to do a world of good for BYU. And I think that they have to have some extraordinary performances from maybe a guy like Puka Nacua, maybe someone like a Jaren Hall, guys that haven't been necessarily the stars yet this season, but people around the program feel that they have star potential. They need to start to realize that star power that they have and show it today. Because I think defensively, BYU, I think they're solid. They're going to be bend but don't break. They got to have some big plays as well, too, and realize some of their star potential. But early tone setters, BYU, that would be huge for this team.
And I think setting the tone early, Mitch, like you said, one thing that will help them is getting a few guys back. So Harris LeChance, sounds like that's a game time decision for him, but that would bolster that offensive line because I thought he was outstanding in the first couple weeks at that right. I mean, the tackle positions have been great. Blake Freeland has been fantastic, and Harris LeChance has been really good as well. So if he can go, we'll find out in a few hours, but if he can go, I think that would be a big boom for BYU.
It would. Mason Wake, too, is a guy that he's the fullback, tight end. He would be, he's critical, I think, for this BYU offense. I think it's no coincidence that the offense has taken a little bit of a step back the past 2 weeks. And Wake is just this unique weapon that doesn't get much headlines or fanfare, but he's critical to what BYU does offensively. And Aaron Roddick noted that earlier this week. He's been practicing, and he told our friends at the Zone Sports Network that he plans to play this week against Baylor, so keep an eye on him. Lorenzo Fawatea, he was out last week. He said on his social media that he's going to be playing today against Baylor. And then speaking of, well, Baylor, BYU's going to go up against Baylor. They also have on their own roster Baylor Romney. He was out last week due to concussion protocol. Aaron Roderick said that he's taken fewer snaps than Jacob Conover. So to me, I'm feeling like this might be another week where he's still in the concussion protocol. He's a questionable status coming into today's game in terms of his availability.
ABC News is coming up at the top of the hour, and then we'll have some more BYU pregame. Mitch's interview with the Big 12 commissioner, Bob Bowlsby, is up next here on the legacy home of the BYU Cougars, KSL News Radio.
You're listening to a presentation of KSL Sports.
The Boise State loss. It hurt.
Penalty 9 today, so a ragged day in a lot of ways for BYU.
BYU tumbled in the rankings. The Cougars have some problems to solve.
You could say that on 2 touches, BYU lost the football game. Consecutive fumbles on touches.
Now BYU heads to the heart of the Big 12 country. The Cougars' future home to take on the Baylor Bears in Waco, Texas.
They pride themselves on taking the ball away on defense and taking care of it on offense, so we'll see who wins that battle.
Today at 1:30, Baylor and number 19 BYU kick off in a preview of the future.
The Cougars win it! The Cougars win it! And here come the fans!
This is extended pregame coverage, BYU versus Baylor, with Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte
from KSLSports.com
and KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars. Extended pregame coverage rolls on as BYU gets ready to take on the Baylor Bears. And this is an awesome matchup for a lot of different reasons, both on the field and off. And it's got the makings to be, I think, maybe potentially a rivalry, especially now with BYU set to join the Big 12 Conference coming up in 2023. And to talk about that new era for BYU, joined now by Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby. And Commissioner Bowlesby, thank you for taking the time to chat with me today. And this is a special time in the Big 12 Conference right now.
Yeah, it is. It's fun to have the Cougars coming to Waco. And it ought to be a good game. Baylor is an improving program. They've gone through some transition. Of course, lost Coach Rule after a few years to the NFL. And Coach Aranda's come in and done a great job. Obviously, BYU is a big challenge for them because they're a growing football team. They're getting better. They're playing well at times, and at times they backslide a little bit. And I've had a bit of an opportunity to watch BYU, and BYU's a good football team. They deserve to be ranked in the top 20, and they are.
What has you most excited about BYU and its athletic department joining the Big 12 Conference now that it's been the dust has kind of settled for a month? What's got you most excited about BYU joining the league?
Well, I think you can't go very much farther than just stating that they're a worldwide brand, and there aren't very many institutions that can say that. Even if you look at just U.S. independent institutions, the first two to come to mind are BYU and Notre Dame, and so we think that they're obviously consistently living up to the billing. They're good in a lot of things. They have a very broad-based program. I really have enjoyed getting to know President Worthen, and I've known Tom Homo for a long time. And we were helped, frankly, by the fact that we had gotten acquainted on a little bit of a dalliance in 2016 and knew a fair amount about the university. But I think the four schools we've brought in have big brands and unlimited potential. And I just think the Big 12 is going to be a perfect home for the BYU Cougars.
What did that conversation, how did it start? Was it just, hey, call up Tom over the phone, or is it a Zoom call? Like, when did the notice or conversations with BYU, or was it just all internally on the Big 12 side?
Well, we had outreach from BYU at one point, and then we followed up and were in touch with them. And you know, interestingly enough, Tom and I haven't been together in the same place since this all started. So I'm looking forward to actually being able to be in the same room with him and spend a little time during the game. And it's you know, it's not a time when athletic directors are really relaxed during a football game. So we may or may not get a chance to spend a lot of time visiting, but it's really been gratifying to have it come together, and I think BYU is it's a big brand, it's a great university, they bring a lot of equity and a lot of historical success to the conference, and we're just very excited to have them involved.
And with that future and scheduling, divisions will be a part of football, is that correct?
We expect that divisions will be part of it, and I think we are likely to play divisions in men's and women's basketball as well. We're going to be 14 for a while, and then fall back to 12. And you know, the decision whether or not we'll add additional schools probably wouldn't be made for a while. We're going to want to see that there are good strategic reasons for getting larger. And you know, we actually are in numeric alignment finally for you know, the Big 12 has had 10 members and the Big 10 has had 14 members, so we're all numerically challenged. And once OU and Texas leave, we'll actually be a Big 12 that is 12. And whether we'll stay there or not, we'll be dependent upon the wishes of the presidents and the athletic directors.
Week in, week out, it's going to be definitely a grind in the Big 12 Conference and all the sports. Will it, for football, will it be eight or nine games, or is that something that's still being discussed by the
members? It's something that's still being discussed. In fact, we talked about it on a call just yesterday. We know we'll end up having to play divisions, but whether we play six games in our division and three games in a crossover, or whether we do the 6-2 is not yet known. But, you know, there are some traditional rivals that need to be accommodated, and there are some in-state rivals, and we'll have to work our way through that. The way we've typically done it in the past is we use scheduling principles, and any schedule that meets all of our bedrock principles is presumed to be accepted. And so we'll put those together in the coming months and collaborate to get them done, but we typically try and have our schedules done for football, men's basketball, at least a year ahead of time, and so we're probably looking at the fall of 22 before we have schedules for the start of the new members in the league.
Last thing for you, Bob, and again, appreciate you being so generous with your time. What do you envision the future of the Big 12 Conference in this new era? What does it hold going forward?
Well, I think our members got to the place in this process, and everybody was shocked by it. We were all very surprised and really didn't have any indication that this was coming. And I've thought back repeatedly as to whether or not there were indications that we should have seen, and I really haven't found any of those. It really caught us very much off guard. In fact, if you'd asked me at our media day, which is a week before this broke as a rumor, I would have said our board was as aligned as it has been any time in the last 10 years. And similarly, our athletic directors were working together exceedingly well. So when you step away from the inevitable feeling of betrayal and the surprise, then all of a sudden you sort of have to start moving forward and thinking about what the next few steps look like, and I think we did that successfully, and I think the future is very bright. Our eight members that are continuing over the long haul, I think they do what institutions usually should do. They look to see what their options were, and in the end, staying together and adding members was the best outcome for them. And so I see our alignment being very solid going forward, even with the departures. And I think we'll continue to compete at a high level. I think we'll continue to enjoy a profile at the national level, both from a governance standpoint and from a competitive standpoint. I think we'll continue to have a significant position in the CFP, and we'll compete very, very well in a wide variety of sports as we have in the past.
Commissioner, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Excited to be covering the Big 12 Conference going forward here at KSL. And again, appreciate your time and enjoy the rest of your weekend. And looking forward to talking more down the road.
Thanks. It's great to visit with you, Mitch.
Today, BYU tries to put things back on track.
Back of the end zone. And oh, what a catch is made! Samson Nakua with a touchdown!
Listening to extended pregame coverage.
BYU versus Baylor with Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte from KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio.
Roughly 2 hours to go until kickoff between the Bears and the Cougars. And man, it's been an awesome pregame show here on KSL News Radio. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte. We've had a blast and loved hearing from Chaz IU. Loved your interview, Mitch, with Commissioner Bolsme of the Big 12. Excited for BYU to get to the Big 12. And we're going to get a taste later today with BYU and Baylor. And we want to get you familiar with the opponent with a segment we do each and every week. It is Three and Out.
Three and Out. A quick hit look at BYU's next opponent on the gridiron. It's Three and Out on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Three and Out's brought to you by Economics Partners, Utah's premier business valuation and strategic consulting firm. If you need a business valuation, contact econpartners.com. They're big BYU fans, so check them out if you need to. All right, Mitch, should we get things going with first down?
First down.
First down, we take a look at a stat that you need to know for today's game. And for me, the number I'm going to give you, Matt, is 131. That's the number of first downs BYU's defense has allowed this season. That's not good. BYU ranks 102nd nationally in first downs allowed. The defense has to step up. If you get Baylor behind the sticks, you got to get off the field. If it's a 3rd and 8, do not give up that first down and let Baylor move down the field. So guys like Ben Bywater, Chaz Ayu, who you heard earlier today, the secondary with Ammon Hanneman, who's taking leaps in his game, Malik Moore, they've got to be dialed in. They got to, when there's the opportunity there to get off the field, get off that field, because it's becoming too much of a theme with this BYU defense where they're giving first down after first down after first down. No coincidence to our name here, but they cannot let that be a consistent deal with what against Baylor's offense. That is the most potent offense BYU is going to face to this point of the season.
For me, the number is 0, and Kalani teased my little 3-and-out stat earlier in the program, but that's the number of interceptions Baylor's thrown this year. None. They've thrown 0 interceptions. Gary Bohannon, he's thrown for 1,300 yards, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions, completing 66% of his passes. This is a good quarterback who you know, he kind of burst onto the scene in the Big 12 championship game back in 2019. Made some plays in a tight game against Oklahoma when Charlie Brewer, remember that name, Charlie Brewer gets banged up, and in comes Gary Bohannon, throws a couple touchdown passes. So this is a good quarterback, and if he throws no interceptions, they have no turnovers, I think it's going to be hard for BYU. So pay attention to that. Maybe the Cougars can force Bohannon into his first interception of the year.
Second down.
All right, players that you need to watch for in today's game. To me, the player to watch for BYU is Puka Nacua. I think he's going to be the player of the game. This is going to be his signature moment in his BYU career. Every single week, it's felt like, since he was out against Arizona, he's just gotten better and better and better. Last week, he had a nice one-handed grab against Boise State. I'm expecting a big game from Puka Nacua, and that might be counter to what you would expect, because Baylor's pass defense is one of the best. Only they're 16th nationally in passing yardage allowed per game, but I think they haven't faced a receiving unit the caliber of BYU's, and I think Puka Nacua is going to be the biggest beneficiary as the defense zeroes in on Neil Powell, Gunnar Romney. Puka's going to be open. I'm expecting Puka to have a big game. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, for me, it's a wide receiver, but it's not Puka for me. I'm going Neil Powell. He leads the team in receptions. He's only had, only is a relative word, because BYU has spread the football around. 13 different guys have caught a pass, but Powell's had 4 receptions in the last 3 games consecutively. So 4-4-4, 12 in the last 3 games. I think he's going to lead BYU in receptions against Baylor. I think he's just such a unique guy who can play in the slot. He can play on the outside. I love the choice with Puka. I think Puka is going to have a great game as well, but I think Neil Powell is a guy who's going to maybe not have quite the game he had against Arizona where he had 8 for over 100, but I think he'll go over 100 yards, maybe 5, 6, or 7 catches. Neil Powell, love his game. I think he's going to be a big-time player against Baylor.
Third down.
Yeah, third down here. A bold prediction for today's game. And let me add real quick before we get into this, a player to watch for Baylor, Tyquan Thornton, wide receiver number 9. We're in this theme of wide receiver talk. He's going to be a name to keep an eye on. BYU secondary better be ready. Third down, bold prediction. Here's my bold take, Matt. I'm saying BYU wins this football game. I think that feels bold, right?
Yeah.
BYU comes in as a touchdown underdog. I'm saying the Cougars pull the upset. I think they bounce back. They get their 6th win of the season. BYU wins this football game, and I think they win it by a touchdown. BYU's going to get it done today.
For me, and I'm not saying this because of your fantastic commentary about Puka Nacua, but I think he's going to get his first touchdown of the year. I think I'm totally with you, Mitch, that he is just progressively getting better and better and better. He did drop that touchdown against Arizona State, so that could have come a few weeks ago, but he's going to score a touchdown later today. Puka Nacua gets his first touchdown as a BYU Cougar.
That would be great to see. Puka Nacua, BYU, I'm expecting them to win this game, Matt. I think they're going to get it done. What's your final score prediction?
For me, I've got Baylor winning this football game 31-24. That Boise State game has me concerned about just the injuries right now. I just feel like BYU's depth has been tested, and it finally took its toll against Boise State. I want to see some guys get back. Can they gel? I think BYU can certainly win this game, but since they've got to make a pick here on pregame coverage, I'm going to go Baylor. I'm not feeling great about the health of the team right now, and it's going to be tough on the road. So I hate to be that guy here on pregame coverage, but I think Baylor's going to win this one. A close one, but I'm going to give the edge to the home team.
Maybe it's the Rudy's barbecue that I had last night. It's just making me feel some kind of way. I'm thinking BYU wins. I'm going to say BYU 28, Baylor 23. I think both offenses will get their fair share of points, and they'll have some explosive plays. Baylor's an explosive team. They'll play a little bit of triple option at times, too. They throw some wrinkles in here. It's so funny watching Baylor on film because there's so many elements to what we've seen from BYU the past few seasons. But this will be a good football game, and I think Cougar Nation, the fans that are going to be there are going to see a good football game. I think it's going to be one that BYU wins because, again, I've always felt that BYU under Kalani, and the facts have shown, these big stages, these Power 5 venues, when BYU is an underdog, they come in and perform well. BYU has won their last six games under Kalani Sitake as an underdog. Keep that in mind. BYU is a good underdog team. This is another situation where they're being viewed as, you know, they're kind of getting exposed after the loss to Boise. BYU bounces back. They're going to win this football
game.
Well,
Mitch, I hope you're right. If I ever want to be wrong, it's this week. I would love BYU to get back to their winning ways. And then, as I mentioned earlier, Mitch, a win against Baylor, I think you're right back into the New Year Six conversation, because this is a team that could win the Big 12. Like, Oklahoma has shown to be suspect. And so I think Baylor is a good football team. I'd love to see it. I just need to see it. How you kind of felt against Utah all those years, like, they got to do it before I believe. That's how I feel with an injury team in BYU that's fighting the injury bug. But, man, I hope you're right, Mitch.
Well, you're going to hear it on KSL News Radio, and you can see in-game coverage on KSLSports.com and all of our social feeds, KSL Sports on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Mitch_Harper, Biamonte Matt. We've got you covered here on the banks of the Brazos River, Waco, Texas, BYU, and Baylor. Extended pregame coverage. It's been a pleasure. So for Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, producer Dallin Graff, this has been extended pregame coverage of BYU versus Baylor here on KSL News Radio. It's always powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.